Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 10 of Agitated Podcast. This is Caitlin, and I'm really excited that we got all the way up to 10. Remember when we weren't even sure if we were going to do it? we talked about doing this podcast for a long time before it actually happened. 10 is my lucky number, and now we're in the double digits. So what's agitating everybody right now? Millie, you want to?
Okay. So a lot of you have probably seen the photos showing U.S. Border Patrol agents on horseback with like whips, violently grabbing Haitian migrants who were attempting to join the Del Rio encampment, which, if you haven't seen photographs of that, is thousands of people gathered and living under a bridge, under and around a bridge in Del Rio, Texas. Now, this, despite the Department of Homeland Security designating Haiti for quote-unquote temporary protected status. And this happened initially 4 months ago. And I just want to say this is very, very uncommon. This kind of designation applies to immigrants temporarily unable to return home because of unsafe circumstances, political upheaval, natural disasters. So this temporary protected status was just actually extended and expanded on August 3rd, and it will last through February 3rd of 2023. So I ask then, why the fuck in a 24-hour period beginning Sunday were 320 Haitians placed on planes by the Biden administration and expelled back to Haiti? And 6 more flights are expected to land in Haiti today, and then as many as 10 per day from tomorrow onward.
What Jesus the hell? Christ. I saw the images, but I didn't really take in any of the story yet. So are they actually taking everybody who's in that encampment or just randomly?
So it's estimated that over 14,000 Haitians will be expelled from the U.S. in the coming 3 weeks. So that's actually around the exact number of folks currently living at that encampment. And, I had previously wanted to discuss here about the thousands of children that are still being detained in cages at the border, but obviously saw some urgency in talking about these Haitian asylum seekers being deported and violently rounded up. And
yeah, it looked like, the image that of course came to mind is like of like foreman of like slave master horribleness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, white people in uniform. Yeah. With whips on horseback chasing black people. I mean, going from wanting to talk about the kids still in cages to this disgust, want to underline that the Biden administration's border regime is no kinder than Trump's. Bottom line, right? Mm-hmm. And so these mass deportations have been authorized under the CDC's Title 42, which basically enables expedited deportations in the name of quote unquote public health during this COVID-19 pandemic. So the Trump admin deported nearly 500,000 under the law, but we've already seen Biden deport nearly 700,000 under it.
So we're going to go back to Obama era numbers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, thanks, Millie, for bringing that one forward. And I didn't have one, but I just wanted to say really quick, in terms of it made me think of it, that I saw people were talking about how the Biden administration just declared that scientific proof of catastrophic climate change, quote, does not present sufficient evidence to halt the federal plan expand offshore oil drilling. So just in the realm of not doing shit about what you said you do and why supposedly we got rid of Trump was
liberals are still acting like he's the next FDR, and they're still.
I went to a meeting of progressives across Arizona over the weekend, and I was
are you okay?
completely disheartened by And, you know, these are well-meaning individuals, but opening up with basically an ode to Biden and Harris. And it was,
oh my God,
confusing and, you know, horrendous that people are still, like, claiming victory when literally nothing that we asked for or demanded, you know, during the election season has come through.
It's like we're living in completely different realities from... They are living in completely different reality than reality.
Wow, the bar for being a progressive is so low.
Yeah, that word makes me cringe.
Well, that translates into yours a little bit, Shelley,
no,
right?
No, it does.
Speaking of Biden as FDR.
Yeah, so this is more on the congressional side of things. So as all of this stuff is unfolding with the Haitian migrants in Congress, they're working on this, you know, $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation bill. And Democrats added this, they added a provision to the reconciliation bill that would open multi-year doorways to legal permanent residence, which is green cards, and even citizenship in some cases for the following groups. So undocumented immigrants brought to the country as children, also known as Dreamers. Immigrants with temporary protected status, like what Millie was talking about earlier. They fled countries that are stricken by natural disasters or extreme violence. So Haiti, El Salvador, Syria, places like that. And essential workers and farm workers. And in total, it's estimated to have impacted 8 million undocumented immigrants and given them green cards or even citizenship. So very significant. And on Sunday, the Senate parliamentarian Elizabeth McDonough blocked it.
Can we just pause for just a second and explain what a Senate parliamentarian is? Because I have seen that going around a lot, and I think a lot of people don't know.
Yes. So the main role of the parliamentarian is to decide what can and can't be done under the reconciliation process. And the reconciliation process is different than like how normal legislation passes, because it... only requires approval of a simple majority instead of 60 votes. And this process is also protected from the filibuster. So the Senate parliamentarian is appointed, and they're supposed to kind of interpret these rules. And
who did they get appointed by?
The Senate Majority Leader, I think, right?
Yeah, so McDonough was appointed in 2012 by Harry Reid, a Democrat.
Okay.
And so in this case, McDonough, and I also want to just mention that McDonough also was the one who rejected the $15 minimum wage the last time we were in a reconciliation process.
Bitch.
So her explanation for this ruling was that the societal changes outweighed the budget impact. And because this is a budget bill, that doesn't really make sense. So her quote, and it's interesting too, because prior to this, she was an immigration lawyer. And this actually sounds like a pretty, like, compassionate-sounding not compassionate in the way she ruled, but, like, her understanding. She said, many undocumented persons live and work in the shadows of our society out of fear of deportation. Permanent legal status would grant them freedom to work, freedom to travel, freedom to live openly in our society in any state in the nation, and to reunite with their families, and it would make them eligible in time to apply for citizenship, things for which there is no federal fiscal equivalent. So basically she's saying that the financial impact is outweighed by, you know, just how sweeping these changes are. And like maybe based on their dumb fucking made up rules, that is the appropriate ruling. Like right. When that's your job to interpret the rules, like she might have been correct in that interpretation. But this bitch does not actually have power. It's like totally pretend. They could literally ignore her. Kamala Harris is the president of the Senate, so Kamala Harris could just completely overrule this. And then, because this is an appointed position, Democrats put her there in 2012, and Chuck Schumer fully holds the power to fire her. So they could either ignore her or fire her.
Which they've done before.
Yeah, in 2001, Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott, who's like a fucking, he was a ghoul Republican, but he was very effective at his job. And he fired the parliamentarian at the time, Robert Dove, because Dove was ruling against parts of the GOP's tax cut agenda, you know, when Bush was coming into office.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, if it were flipped and it were Republicans who are sort of, you know, who can take on that, like, sort of ruthless, we've got an agenda and we will do whatever. And Democrats, mm-hmm. every time, they just hide behind procedure and are like, oh, shoot, we just can't. Bummer.
Which in turn, like, gives so much power to these unelected sort of bureaucrats, like these court clerks and these, you know, parliamentarians and people who were never voted on, but they're like, oh, bureaucracy, like, we can't do that. And then these fucking random people have all this power because they're unwilling to confront it.
And we're going this route. Is this correct? We're going this route because filibuster ends all.
Right. So this is the only way that this could pass with the filibuster in place.
Right. Well, that's what
so
I'm
they're
saying.
Basically.
So the only way to get around it is to go through this unelected.
So they're like, let's have our own bureaucrats cut off our knees so that we don't even have to get to the point where we are pointing out where we're going around the filibuster. God, they're such chicken
shit. So they won't overrule the parliamentarian. I mean, and what's funny about the, you know, the 2001 is like not, you know, Dick Cheney was vice president. He was president of the Senate. He was definitely in the same, like, mentality as Trent Lott. And they could have just overruled it. But they went for the jugular. They fucking fired that guy, right? Like, this is how Republicans work the system. And Democrats, they refuse to, pack the courts. They refuse to end the filibuster. Every fucking tool at their disposal to get their agenda, their alleged agenda.
These are the people who we have entrusted our lives with. People who are like, oh, we can't do a damn thing, sorry. But we'll spend a lot of fucking energy pretending like we might, and then just we'll find any excuse at the last second to make sure we don't.
Honestly, you'd have to try to be that cowardly. Like, that is, like honestly, you have to try to be, like...
Yeah, there's, like, the more I was reading, the more I was like, wow, this is absolutely on purpose. And so they're allegedly trying some other things, and but it's still, they're still relying on the parliamentarian to approve, you know, their plan B and plan C and plan D. So, yeah.
God, the people who are in there, it's just like, I don't understand how they don't ever get a catch a glimpse of themselves in the mirror and just, like, notice what giant clowns they are.
I wonder if there's, like, a special prescription that they get. They're like, here, we're gonna give you this so you lose all fucking moral ethics, everything. You know what I mean? This is just gonna, like, mute you out. It's like an antidepressant. Mm-hmm. Just, like, zombie you enough to, like, go with
a numbing to their own lack of integrity.
Yeah.
Super frustrating.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. We're trying a new thing where we're just doing, like, agitations, and then we're going to go to Am I the Asshole Now, right? And Shelly, you said you have one that you're excited about?
I'm really excited about this one.
Okay, give it to us.
All right, so it went, like, mildly viral on Twitter, so it's possible that some of our listeners may have seen this, but I... For reasons you'll understand soon, I could not. Okay, are you ready for the title?
Yes.
Am I the asshole for naming my dog Brad?
Oh, no.
So,
oh, boy. Okay.
All right, you ready? So, I've always thought it's funny when dogs have basic human names. Much more amusing to me than giving them obvious dog names like Spike or Jelly Bean or whatever. Never had an issue
with
Brad's
name. Jelly Bean is an obvious
dog
name to you? Like, what about, like, a chewy little sugar nugget, like, reminds you of a dog at all? Sorry.
Yeah, Jelly Bean was
like a
weird...
little fat dog? Like a little dachshund that's all puffy?
I think a dachshund, Jelly Bean would make sense for a dachshund. So, never had an issue with Brad's name being what it is until recently. My sister got a new boyfriend, and I'm sure you can see where this is going. I don't think I even have to say his name. Well, my sister came over the other day with him and we met for the first time. Everything was all fine and good until he asked what my dog's name was. I laughed a little and said that his name was also Brad. He looked at me for a second.
I just can't contain myself.
I'm sorry. If this guy's name is Brad, he needs to know. Like, you need to just know. And also, my partner's name is Brad.
Yeah, we should put a disclaimer out there. Brad, we're a fan. Don't take this to heart.
He's a fine. Huge factor in why I picked this one, and I know your Brad has a good sense of humor, so. He looked at me for a second and asked if I was joking or not, and I told him no, his name is actually Brad. After that, his whole mood flipped, and the remainder of the visit just had an uncomfortable vibe. A while after they left, my sister called me and started berating me for, quote, disrespecting her boyfriend.
What?
Oh, my
Brad,
God.
Brad, the boyfriend, came afterwards.
Honestly, this seems like such a Brad thing for him to do. And I don't think I did anything wrong here. But maybe I'm wrong. Should I have lied about Brad's name so I didn't risk
Absolutely
hurting his
not.
Feelings?
No.
The dog would have been so confused.
Honestly, so, if someone came over and their name was Zelda, my cat's name, I would be like, this is amazing. Aren't you? Isn't everyone so excited about this?
Right? If you're half as good as my dog, then, like, go Brad.
I mean, I think someone named Brad definitely wouldn't expect a dog to be named after him because, you know,
that's
like,
true.
It's not a typical.
I've never met a dog
but,
Brad.
Still very
Yeah,
ridiculous.
But I mean, if he didn't know him, like, how could he possibly.
Okay, so there's two edits.
Brad's being way extra.
Brad needs to settle down.
There's two edits. The first one includes a picture, so we'll link that in the show notes. She refers to as default Brad. And then she said, edit two. Well, my sister saw the post, and so did Brad, too. Like I said, this did kind of go viral. They have been bickering and apparently split up. Brad number one and I don't want any part of that nonsense, so don't call me till you figure it out, Sarah.
Okay, that might be a little bit of an asshole.
That's fantastic.
To post that, knowing that her sister's looking at it.
Well, not every Am I the Asshole goes viral.
Right. Well, that's the thing.
Right.
I'm just saying, once she already knew that it went viral, to then, like, rub it in a little bit. But I don't know what her relationship is with her sister. If her sister, the fact that her sister did not immediately tell her boyfriend, Brad, are you kidding me right now? Shake it off, bro.
Right.
And instead called her sister means that her sister has some asshole potential inside.
Clearly, the sister who wrote this did the sister with the asshole Brad boyfriend a favor by ditching that Brad.
That is so sensitive. That is very, it is a Brad thing to do, isn't it? It's like the most, like, nobody else would get that offended than the kind of guy who gets named Brad. Not all Brads, but...
I feel like Brads and Chads are very much in the same. I mean, not your Brad, he's lovely. But, like, in general, I've definitely grouped Chads and Brads.
Well, my one of my longest term exes was named Chad, and he is a rapper. So, a white rapper. So, obviously. And he had to, like, get a good sense of humor about his name because, like, when you're in those spaces, like, you're just going to get ragged on. So he just, like, really owned it.
Well, that's the thing. If that's your name, that's what happens. You either get a decent sense of humor. We had a conversation, Brad and I, when we're early on in our relationship, and I was like, well, because the image that comes to mind, it would be cool, Jessica, if you could splice it in, that little bit of the scene from Adventures in Babysitting. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Where they're on the subway car and anyways, there's going to be like a gang fight and she like is like, let us get off. The babysitter is like, let us get off the train. And then he goes, sit down, bitch. And then Brad, the little teenage boy kid who is tagging along because he has a crush on her, like jumps up and is like, are you going to let him talk to her like that? And so he jumps up and gets in his face and he's like, listen to the bitch, Brad.
Stay out of this.
He called you a bitch.
Brad, shut up.
Hey, listen to the bitch, Brad.
And it's like, you can't hear the word Brad without that coming to mind. And so we had a whole conversation about it. And it's like, yeah, if your name is Brad, you know.
You made me watch the clip at the time, Caitlin.
So good. Also, that's like one of the best movies, by the way. If you haven't seen it, you missed out. Elizabeth Shue.
It's also one of those names. Like, I feel like this about a lot of names, but it's hard to imagine a baby named Brad.
Right. You know what I mean? That's why it's funny. It's like babies and animals with names. Like,
it's funny.
It's just hilarious.
It's funny.
Okay.
I mean,
so, So one other thing that I just want to mention here, since as an excuse for our listeners, if they have not had the pleasure of coming across a TikTok or Instagram account called Useless Farm, it's this woman from Canada, and she names all her animals like Keith,
I'm
Michael.
I'm so glad you brought this up.
Whatever.
Me
and
too.
Her
we love
very
you.
Asshole
if this gets to
rooster.
You, we fucking love you.
So good, so good. Every week I'm like, what's going on at the Useless Farm? And her very, very asshole mean rooster is named Brad. And it's perfect. And she's always getting attacked by Brad. And people should check out. We should link to her Instagram and TikTok because it's really good shit.
That's a favor.
Oh my God, this episode is a gem just for that recommendation.
All right, so she's not an asshole. Brad is an asshole. The dog is completely innocent.
Yeah, and check out the dog. He's really cute. Brad is a very cute dog.
Back to the Useless Farm. This woman has a llama named Keith and a llama named Michael and a donkey named Doug.
What's the bitch
it's
emu?
So good.
I love her. What's the bitch emu?
Oh, and Karen.
Karen.
His name was Karen before that was a thing. And oh, she's so mean. And that's the best. She's the best character on the farm for sure. Karen, the evil emu, is. And Stanley is the other emu. You got to check it out, Shelley.
I will. Yes. I'm like Instagram averse, but I will check it out.
All right. Well, is that our episode? That was so short and sweet. Is there anything else we have to say?
It was sweet.
We're trying it. If you have opinions about this format versus when we pack more in, let us know. We might try something else later. But for now, this is what we're doing. I think we're done.
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
Before we wrap up this episode, I want to invite you to check out our partner organization and the folks that help us produce this show, A Radical Guide. Radical Guide is a site listing tons of historical and current locations, people, and places of interest, highlighting the diverse world of resistance. They've got courses, books, zines, panels, films, and lots more to check out. Radical Guide is currently working on a campaign to document underground stories of resistance around the world. Through this campaign, A Radical Guide will seek out and partner with groups and individuals to document their work and share their stories through video. They'll work with groups who produce live events, such as anarchist book fairs, panel discussions, and so much more, to help them record their events and broadcast them live to an audience who can't be there in person. To do this, they need to upgrade their equipment, though. It's more important than ever that we're telling and sharing stories and tactics of resistance globally and not relying on corporate media to give us the information we need to liberate ourselves. It's also critical that we're able to make this kind of content virtually accessible to all. That is so important. If you can, check out their Indiegogo campaign and the interesting ways you can donate and support them and the radical work they support and document. Check out our show notes for links or go to radicalguide.com and click support. That's radical-guide.com and click support. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you for tuning in. You can sign up for our email list so you can get a notification whenever a new episode drops. Sign up to get notified at agitatedpodcast.com. You can also leave us your feedback under the Contact Us section of the website.
Don't forget, we've got stickers. If you'd like one, drop us a line with your address through any of our social media channels or the website. And speaking of social media, we'd love to connect with you there. You can find us at Agitated Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Please don't forget to subscribe and rate us 5 stars on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you tune into podcasts. And if you would, leave a positive review on iTunes. It really helps the algorithm bump our podcast and new people find us on our show.
And please share us with your friends. Podcasts like ours grow through word of mouth. So thank you for your support. And a big thanks to Jason and Radical Guide for helping us produce this show and Alfonso for helping us with promotion. See you next time.